The Forgotten Dialect of the Heart. How astonishing it is that language can almost mean, and frightening that it does not quite. Love we say, God we say, Rome and Michiko we write, and the words get it all wrong. We say bread and it means according to which nation. French has no word for home, and we have no word for strict pleasure. A people in northern India is dying out because their ancient tongue has no words for endearment. I dream of lost vocabularies that might express some of what we no longer can. Perhaps the Etruscan texts would finally explain why the couples on their tombs are smiling. And maybe not. When the thousands of mysterious Sumerian tablets were translated, they seemed to be business records. But what if they are poems or psalms? My joy is the same as 12 Ethiopian goats standing silent in the morning light. O Lord, thou art slabs of salt and ingots of copper, as grand as ripe barley lithe under the wind's labor. Her breasts are 6 white oxen loaded with bolts of long-fibered Egyptian cotton. My love is 100 pitchers of honey. Shiploads of thuya are what my body wants to say to your body. Giraffes are this desire in the dark. Perhaps the spiral Minoan script is not a language, but a map. What we feel most has no name but amber, archers, cinnamon, horses, and birds. Jack Gilbert.
Ah, poetry. Kalamazoo has a big love for poetry, and I think that Kalamazoo Poetry Festival is probably quite unique. Tell me if that isn't so. If you can give us a little history of what is this festival?
Absolutely.
And your role in it.
Sure. Well, I am the president and chair of the Kalamazoo Poetry Festival this year. My name is John Mincer, and I'm really proud of what we're putting together this year. So every year, the Kalamazoo Poetry Festival includes a celebration of community poets. And this is a full-scale, full-length poetry reading staffed entirely by community poets and writers from the area. It's a little bit more formal than an open mic, although we do sponsor those as well. But it's always an exciting time to see what people have been working on in the last couple of years, what's on their minds. It's a time for me to take a pulse of the community and find out what they're thinking about, what they're writing about, and what they think is worth bringing in front of an audience.
You yourself are an interesting combination. You're both in medicine and in poetry. We don't always see that together. Talk about your personal experience with poetry and how you developed that interest.
Absolutely. So I've been interested in poetry for years, ever since I would say probably junior year of high school, when I had a really great poetry teacher who taught me sort of what poetry can do, what language can do. And since then, I have followed up on that. My undergraduate and graduate degrees are both in language and literature. And I now work at Western Michigan Homer Stryker MD School of Medicine, where I work on curriculum. And I also teach a little bit in the program for medical ethics, humanities, and law. So, I think that it is a really interesting intersection. I myself have a chronic disease. I'm a type 1 diabetic. And I think that when you think of yourself as both healthy and ill, and you have to sort of grapple with the contradictions of that, it's a natural turn to language and see the sort of work that language can do in spaces of contradiction. And I think that's always been sort of a poetic interest of mine ever since I was pretty young.
Tell us a little bit more about this year's festival and who's participating. Is this all about local artists? Are you bringing somebody in from somewhere else?
Sure. So we bring people in every other year, and we're not doing that this year. So this year, it's everyone local, and we're really excited about that. It's always such a vibrant, energetic event. We are, this year, being emceed by a Genesis at the Celebration for Community Poets, and Dana Hudson, Great Dane, at the open mic afterward. They bring a lot of energy. They bring a lot of power to the poetic celebration. And every year we sort of ask people a little bit about, before they even come on, what's on their mind. So 2 years ago, our theme was community. What we wanted to talk about was, what is a community? What makes a community? Last year was body language. And we ended up talking about dance and what it means to be in a body and what it means to have our bodies be ours and still have other people want to make claims on them, things like that. So this year, one of the things that we are much more interested in is sort of locality, neighborhoods, places. What does it mean to be in your space? And what does it mean when someone tries to put you in your place? And so I think we're going to see some really great poetry. We don't do a lot of screening for content. We let people sort of say what they want to say. We do like to see kind of what's on their mind beforehand. And that's kind of what seems to be coming together. The other thing that's really important this year is the space that belongs to all of us, the Earth. And we are participating this year in Earth Day celebrations. We have actually set aside a subset of the poems that are all about climate and Earth concerns.
And are you crossing generations? Who are you seeing participate? Who shows up at these open mics, for instance? And for those listening who want to get involved, how do they do it?
We are seeing a younger and younger crowd every year. The folks who've been around for a while, we're always excited to see them show up. There are some people who are real fixtures of the poetry community and really bring a lot of weight and gravitas to the writing that's done in this town. And we love seeing them show up every year. But we also love seeing young people, even youths, even folks who are just out of elementary school showing up and reading. Some of the poems can have some mature themes, so we sort of ask people to use their best judgment when they come in. But people who are socially aware, people who are aware of themselves and what they want to say from across all generations are showing up at both the community read and also open mics afterward. The open mic is at Fire, so we tend to see more youth at that because it's a place that's known to youth around town, a place where they feel comfortable and feel comfortable expressing themselves. Yeah, if you'd like to get involved, probably the easiest way is to write in to our email address, web@KalamazooPoetryFestival.com. Send us just something and a note that you're interested in participating, and one of us on the board will be in touch.
What's your expectation based on previous years? How many people tend to get involved in these? Is it shyness, or do you have long lines waiting to get up at that mic?
Oh, there's a little of both. Sometimes it's great to see people overcoming that shyness, deciding that now is the time that they want to finally open their mouths and say what's been, you know, burning inside them for so long. We have a handful of folks who just love it, who are so excited, and they contact us early, and they're there. And honestly, I think we need both in the community of poets in the area. So, yeah, I think what we normally see is about 20 to 25 poets at the community read, and that fills up a good hour and a half to 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
People have told us that's about the right amount of poetry, you know, two hours.
Yeah.
And so that's usually where we cap it, is once we fill up about 20 to 25, then we encourage people to come to the open mics. And those can be so busy. They can be a line of folks waiting out the door.
Wow.
And every once in a while, there are some times where it's a little bit calmer, a little bit of a quieter atmosphere, and people can choose that moment to speak up. We usually see between 200 and 250 attendees.
Nice.
It's really exciting. We're at the KIA this year, and that's about the fire code limit. So we're hoping to pack the house. Yeah.
And are there book sales, book signings that are a part of this as well?
Yeah. Poets often bring things that they've written. We ask people to sort of bring your own things, and we have tables set up in the lobby that allow people to do their sales and to promote things. If you have an organization that wants to set up ahead of time and have materials, handouts, you know, a poster board, something like that. Please also write into web@KalamazooPoetryFestival.com and let us know. We would love to have you there. We usually have about five or so partnering organizations that take us up on that. So if we haven't been in touch with you yet, please reach out to us. But we think it tends to be a really exciting community sort of atmosphere where everybody is talking, promoting what they've done, sharing their experiences. And then afterward, off to do a little bit more reading.
It's a very supportive community, too, I've found over the years, that there's not a lot of competitiveness or jealousy. The literary artists seem to embrace each other a lot.
I would agree with that. 2 years ago when we did our community theme, I was amazed at how many people were writing both about the positive and negative aspects of community, but no one said, this community is unwelcoming. They wanted to talk about what it means to be part of a global community, what it means to sometimes be locked out of community, but they didn't have that critique about the literary community. It tends to be very open and very, very welcoming.
and yourself, talk about a little bit more about what you do. Are you participating as a reader as well, or just kind of overseeing the whole thing?
So normally I don't participate, although a number of our board members are drawn from participants from years past. So if you're interested in serving and in setting up next year's festival, reading is a great first step. Myself, I have read in a lot of events. I've worked events before. This year, we have a huge lineup of poets, and we ask our board members not to be the first to sign up if there are other folks who want to read.
Aw, shucks. You should have a special little event for board members.
A lot of us are writers. Not everybody. You don't have to be a poetry writer or even a diligent poetry reader to be interested. If you're interested in supporting poetry in this community or building community across multiple lines, the board service is open to all types.
And what is the value of poetry, do you think, versus, say, prose writing? What is it about poetry that so gets to people?
I think that when you're focusing that closely on the language of the thing, you know, prose can tell amazing stories and some prose writing can be incredibly beautiful, but poetry asks you to really focus on the language. And when you do that, it forces you to slow down. There are so many poets who write in this space of between actions or in a single moment. A poem could span 1,000 years or it could be less than a second. And you could spend an hour reading a poem that is narratively less than 1 second long. And so I think that sort of focus on scale and understanding how closely you can look at things, how closely you can think about things, and that it is worth taking time and slowing down and breathing and feeling the moment. I think that poetry asks you to really experience what it's like to be alive in some ways. That some of the best poems can get your heart racing. They can calm you down. They can make you fall in love all over again. It's about remembering and anticipating how you felt and how you'll feel
again.
You're
starting to sound like a poem.
Getting a little off, yeah. But
what would you say to so many people who won't pick up a poetry book, who won't go to it, and there's few in this community.
Sure.
Who are intimidated by poetry. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. What would you say to these people?
Well, two things come to mind. A friend of mine who I went to school with said that he always hoped to write a book of poems that the guys who hang out in front of the gas station could talk about. And he meant that with all love in his heart, because that's what he really wanted, was to connect with people who might not otherwise have picked up poetry. And you don't need to necessarily be writing, I think, for a specific audience to have that sort of feel, to have that sort of goal, to communicate with everyone. And the other thing that comes to mind is that Billy Collins has a really good poem about not getting, not understanding, not or feeling like poetry is exclusionary to you. He says, "What I want is for you to watch ski across the surface of a poem and feel it and feel it as an experience, not beat it with a hose to find out what it really means. You know, you don't have to interrogate a poem.
You can still enjoy it without getting it.
Poems should do a little of the work for you. They should make you feel something, even if you don't get it on an intellectual level. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, a poem shouldn't be read just once.
I agree. Yeah. There are poems the one that I read here for you today, I've come back to again and again and again.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, John. We appreciate it and looking forward to the festival.
Thank you for your time.